want you to see everything, want you to see everything.
Something wrong, I hold my head, MJ gone, I'm dead.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, being joined by an old friend of the show, Oliver Luck, who, first of all, welcome, the commissioner and CEO of the XFL. Well, congratulations
on
the
job. Thank you,
John.
Thank you, Lance. Appreciate it.
Congratulations. We were with Jeff Van Gundy. We were going over all of your jobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't hold a job very long. That's one of my challenges.
Okay. And then Houston Sports Authority. Yeah. And then West Virginia. And then the NCAA. Yeah. And now XFL. We said, yeah, in a couple of weeks, he'll have a new job. So we'll talk about that, whatever that is going to be. No,
I'm glad you're keeping track, though. That's very nice of you. I appreciate that. I'm a little bit nervous about the stalking.
You forgot a quarterback.
That was a really short career.
Now you're just Andrew's dad.
Yeah, that's right, pretty much.
That's all. That's your biggest job there. By the way, congratulations
to
him.
Does that make him the city of Houston's grandfather since you called him?
Well, he's the Texans' daddy.
Yeah.
I know that.
He likes playing against the Texans.
Because he does.
No, think about it. He might have his best record against the Texans and the Titans, right?
Yeah.
I think the Titans because it's the old Oilers, and he would not want to lose to his old man's former team.
Right.
The Texans because he grew up here.
T.Y. Hilton holds the NFL record for most yards against a single team, yards per game. It's T.Y. Hilton and it's Texans. Well, guess who's throwing all the passes?
Right. Right.
I mean, you know, I know who that is.
So, okay, and congratulations. Comeback player of the year.
Thank you.
That was a nice night and everything else. Yeah, really. I was surprised.
There were a couple guys. I mean, JJ could have won that.
Well, but he only got four votes.
I know. That's surprising.
That was unbelievable.
Deshaun could have. Well, quarterbacks always get more. It's just the way it works. But Deshaun Watson could have won that, too. I mean, he had a hell of a season.
Yeah.
In fact, he was sitting literally like two seats next to me.
Yeah.
He had a nice outfit on.
He
DeAndre liked
the dress.
I don't have the courage to wear that.
Well, of course, you don't have that courage. Well, welcome. And welcome back to the city that we are an XFL. How'd we come to the decision that Houston would be one of these cities?
So, you know, we sent out a bunch of RFPs to, I don't know, 35, 40 markets way back in the spring. Houston responded. Two reasons. Number one, it's a great sports town, right? I can't imagine a football league like ours launching with eight teams not being in both Houston and Dallas, quite honestly. And secondly, Janice, Schmies, Burke, right, at the Sports Authority, they do a tremendous job of making it easy, right, for a group like ours to come in, even though I know the market pretty well, know the city pretty well, you know, figuring out where's your practice facility, what kind of stadium opportunities exist, whether it's BBVA or U of H, right? They grease the skids better than anybody. And I can say that because, you know, we've had exposure to all these markets across, all these big cities across the country. So I think those two reasons. But most importantly, this is a great football market.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And we think our league, the XFL, was really based on the following rationale. It's 85 million football fans. 40 million of those are self-identified, passionate fans like the three of us, right? And right now we have a void in our lives because there's no more football. Super Bowl happened, and we got 4 or 5 months without football. We want to build a league to appeal to those fans. And based on all of our research, those folks will watch football. They'll consume it. It's got to be good. It's got to be good quality. Mm-hmm. XFL 2001 wasn't good quality. This, I think, is going to be good quality football when we launch in 2020.
Was there any – so – but there was no thought of rebranding because you already have the XFL name and you think of He Hate Me and all this stuff, throwing the ball, the scramble at the middle, which obviously you guys want to get away from that.
Correct.
But how is the league going to be different than the NFL, for example? Want to be?
Yeah, we've got about a dozen things that we'd like to do differently. Some are major. We think we've got a good kickoff. Because if you like the kickoff return like I do, it's an endangered species. It's getting phased out of the game, right? College and pro. So we've got a different kickoff that we're testing. We're going to test it with the Spring League, with Your Call Football. We tested it with some JUCOs back in December. We're thinking about a 25 or 30-second clock, right? So it's going to be a much more up-tempo game. We're thinking about a different overtime. We're thinking about different extra points, right? 1, 2, and a 3-point extra point.
Wow.
We'd like to have a 9-point touchdown to allow a team to get back in the game a little bit more quickly. We're looking at the CFL's no fair catch halo rule on the punt. Mm-hmm. Right, so there's about a dozen things that we're looking at. We brought a group together to do what Vince would call reimagining the game. So we had John Fox and Jim Caldwell, Doug Flutie. We had a couple of TV tech guys and some health and safety guys because we wanted to make sure the stuff we were doing, you know, wasn't going backwards in terms of brain trauma, right? Like the scramble
right.
you referenced back in 2001. Right. So we've got about a dozen things that we're going to do. We've got some broadcast agreements that we're about to announce, and we're going to have really powerful broadcast partners, right, to give us tremendous exposure. Mm-hmm. And we want to do all of that in less than 3 hours. So we want to go back to, you know, that 3 hour sort of window that existed back in the 70s and 80s. When I was running NFL Europe in the 90s, we had to get done in 3 hours. That was sort of the rule, yeah. right? Remember the Heidi game?
Mm-hmm.
We all remember the Heidi game.
When did you run NFL Europe? From what years to what years?
I forgot that job.
And I was actually there for a decade. That was a long stay.
Wow.
1990 through 2000.
Yeah, my dad was there when it was
NFL. Yeah, your dad was coaching.
Was World League of America. So you started when it was WLAF.
I started when it was the WeLAF, the worst acronym ever.
Yeah,
WeLAF.
Not good.
Not good.
But he loved
it. The marketing guys didn't really figure that one out.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, and this is an interesting angle I always wonder if the XFL will be able to capitalize on, is that so he was in the World League of American Football, became NFL Europe. He was with the New York, New Jersey Knights. Would travel to the Scottish Claymores and
Frankfurt Galaxy, the Barcelona Dragons,
and he thought it was great. Yeah, but he said, you know, it's interesting. And I would ask him, and once again, this is the early 90s. I'd say, what do they think of football? He goes, you can tell they're trying to cheer for teams, but they don't really get it, and blah blah blah. Well, fast forward, you know, beyond two decades, and he is part of football FBU, Football University. And a group of former NFL coaches and players head overseas, right. and they teach.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm telling you what." He said, "It is really growing." And he talked about Germany and Austria. He said they've got some guys over there that are going to become players. He said we're getting ready.
If you're a big guy, so think about this, right? So there's 80 million Germans, right? And that was our best marketplace. You know, Frankfurt and Dusseldorf and Berlin. They all did very well there. If you're a big German guy, if you're 230, you're not playing soccer.
No,
yeah, right.
you're just not playing soccer, right?
Right?
And there's really nowhere else to go because soccer is the overarching sport. You know, it's sort of soccer and then indoor soccer and then, you know, five-a-side soccer, right? That's all they do. So there's a real opportunity for players over there. It takes a long time.
Will you draw from there?
We are planning to have an international player, you know, on every one of our rosters. We're going to start slow. But there's talent in Europe. You know, there's talent in Japan, quite honestly.
Yeah. They'll find rugby players and pull them out of New Zealand.
They found Marcus Hunt, right?
Well, he's from Estonia.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid's a player. I mean, most of the good ones spend some time in the U.S. high school or college. Mm-hmm. It's hard to learn the game completely over there and then transfer right into
Jordan Malatiti or whatever, who was drafted by the Eagles.
Yeah, he made the squad. He made the 53-man.
Yeah, he was the big tackle, the gigantic tackle.
Yeah.
So... So Bjorn, here's a Colt, Bjorn Werner. Remember that kid?
Yep.
Florida State,
DN. Yeah.
Right? He went over, I think spent a year, maybe 2 years in the U.S. high school, played at Florida State, All-American.
Right.
First round choice, he was a bust,
right.
to be honest.
Right.
But he played 3-4 years, right? And he's actually working over in Germany trying to send kids over to high school. To get them trained up a little bit earlier. So there's some talent.
Because Australia...
Australia's doing that with all the punters.
Yeah, right. Tons of punters and now kickers.
Right. So you find big kids over there and send them over here.
I was influenced by the great Tony Fritsch.
Remember
him?
Yeah.
Right? You know, Oilers kicker and Cowboys kicker. Yeah. Tony, you know, I was a backup holder, I think, to Giff Nielsen or something, and, you know, I'd be out there holding for Tony, and he would say, "I kick him the ball," you know, because it's a, right? "I kick him." And he talked about how easy it was for a soccer player like Tony had been, national team, Austria,
mm-hmm.
you know, transferring into a, you know, becoming an American football kicker. He just was knocking through the uprights. Thought it was the easiest thing in the world. Right? Yeah. You didn't have to run at all.
You pay me?
Yeah, you pay me. I kick him. You pay me. Yeah. No, seriously.
So, okay, so there is a possible market. You got 1,600 more, 1,700 NFL players out there. So you're picking after that,
yep.
right? So why is this going to be a better league than it was before?
Because we're going to take it seriously. I'll be very honest. You know, Vince didn't emphasize the football component enough. He emphasized a lot of the marketing and a lot of the swagger and the bravado and all that. You don't need bravado and swagger in football. There's enough already baked in.
There's testosterone out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of testosterone right. going out there. So they didn't spend enough time preparing for the season. You know, they had a 10 rating on CBS, right? Because it was the old deal was a joint venture between CBS and WWE. They had a 10 rating on the opening game. And, you know, it didn't work, right? Didn't work. The football wasn't good.
NBC.
Oh, I'm sorry, NBC. Thank you. Yeah. But it didn't work, right? And you know, the football. I think that Vince is a great promoter. He understands creating the narrative. Look what he's done with WWE. Built a marvelous, you know, organization. And I think we're going to focus on football. We're going to have, you know, legitimate coaches, guys who have been former NFL head coaches, former major college head coaches. We're going to be in great venues. We're going to have great TV partners. I mean, it's going to be a real football league where I believe the football is going to be a high enough quality that people say, hey,
so we're not going to have like WWE. Well, it's not going to be written, the pregame yelling at each other stuff. We're not going to do any of that?
No. If it's spontaneous, that's one thing. That's right? But there won't be any WWE.
Okay, you know, okay, good.
Will says, so basically XFL is going to do everything the NFL is not doing. Yeah, in some ways.
Well, you know, listen,
what the fans would like to see.
Yeah, listen, the NFL to me is a great league, right? I love the NFL. Right. I was proud to be a player. I'm proud my kid can play. You know, it's a juggernaut celebrating 100 years.
You're
next
not trying
year.
To be. You guys have already said we're not trying to compete with you.
No, we want to be a compliment in the spring, right? For those people, like the three of us who miss football. I like college hoops. I worked at the NCAA, but I don't turn my football sort of, you know, viewing habits into college basketball viewing habits right after the season's over, or the NBA for that matter. I like to watch football. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of people like me. Well, based on the research, there's 40 million of them.
Could you envision a scenario where the NFL allows their play? Now, I don't want you to have to speak for the NFL, but would you?
I know where you're going. Okay. So let me tell you this. So my wife and I go to every Colts game, as you would suspect. And I typically, you know, will bump into like Dave Caldwell, GM of the Jags, or, you know, any of the personnel guys. And they'll say, hey, Oliver, how you doing? You know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, gosh, we really miss NFL Europe. We wish there were a league in the spring where we could send a couple, three of our peace squad guys to see if they can play before we re-up them or before we cut them, you know? And that's what NFL Europe served. That was one of the points of the whole league. That's not happening anywhere, you know? At this point, it's not going to happen with us, right? We're going to build a sustainable standalone league. If the NFL ever wanted to consider doing that, we certainly would be willing to have a conversation because we think, you know, what's good for football is good for all of us. But I do think there is a need for some sort of a spring league, you know, where players who are on NFL practice squads can play. If you're a third-team quarterback, not on the 53-man but on the P-squad, you're not getting any better, right? You're running somebody else's plays. You know, you're Tom Brady 1 week, and then you're, you know, Marcus another week, and then you're, you know, like Bortles the third week. You're not getting any better. Your skill set's declining. So I saw, as the guy running NFL Europe, I saw Kurt Warner, Jake Delhomme, John Kitna, Brad Johnson. Think about that name, right? These guys went over to Europe. They played 10 games, but the bullets were flying. It was live action. They had film on them, and in many cases, they resurrected their careers because they were on the ash heap. You know, they were on the dung heap, so to speak, of the NFL. But so our argument really is to a lot of the peace squad quarterbacks, hey, come play 10 games. You'll do more for your career than spending one more season on a practice
squad.
Can
they do that? Or are they not considered under contract?
If they're out of contract.
Okay.
They have to be out of contract, obviously.
But isn't the NFL tied to the Alliance?
That I don't know if they're tied to the Alliance. I mean,
there's not a direct.
They didn't send any. As far as I can tell, they haven't sent any.
They're
not sending their players.
Yeah. Nothing's official at all.
No. Are you worried about that? Them starting up now and you guys going to be starting up?
I hope Charlie and Bill Polian, you know, who are basically running. I hope they do well. I mean, I think that'd be a good sign for us. I think there's plenty of space for.
Going to San Antonio. You're in Houston. Are you guys going to be in the same city? Any of them?
They are not in any of our markets.
Doing a smaller market.
They're doing the Memphises and the Birminghams of the world, and New York, and LA.
Which was what the World League did, didn't it?
Going way back.
Birmingham,
going way back.
Right,
The USFL was in the larger markets, if you remember. Right?
Yes,
New Jersey, New York, obviously.
Right,
Houston,
right.
The Gamblers, you know.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Your readers have to read Football for a Buck. Jeff Perlman is the author. It's about the USFL. It's a good read, and the stories, all of which you guys know, but you've forgotten them, like I did.
Yeah.
And great stories about Jerry Argovitz and, you know, the whole group, right? It was awesome.
Perlman's a good writer, too.
Yeah, very good writer.
Very good writer.
Excellent.
All right, 713. Oh, we got Oliver Luck here. If you've got any questions about the XFL, you're more than welcome to get in here and ask him that.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 850-713-780-3776. Oliver Luck, Commissioner and CEO of the XFL, with us here in studio. You've had a lot of, as you mentioned, you've done a lot of different things, How is this, I mean, starting from scratch? Were you the first guy you hired?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So, I mean, think about it, though. How often does a sports league, a football league in this case, you know, start from scratch? It's very rare, in the, certainly in the football world. Right.
Right.
So, you know, when Vince announced back in January of 18 that he was going to relaunch the XFL, I kind of, yeah, that's interesting. And then some of his folks reached out in April or May of this past year. But I thought, what a unique opportunity, you know? And I've done something similar with NFL Europe, and we launched, you know, teams like the Dynamo and MLS. But this is an entire league. And, you know, every day you realize, oh, my God, there's like 10 more things I got to think about. And I can't do those today, but I'll have to try to get them, you know, tomorrow. But it's gone pretty well. The good thing is, John, Vince has a lot of money, and he's supporting this thing in a big way, right, in terms of his capital, and he's giving us time to plan this thing, right? So we don't play until 2020.
Right.
And you can't rush into these things. I mean, just doing things that are really boring, which, like, for example, getting your workers' compensation structure set up in those states where we're going to have teams, right? It's statutory to have workers' comp coverage. You know, that's the law. There's no way around it. So, you know, finding a broker, you know, all those types of things are hugely important from a financial side. Nobody talks about them because they're kind of dull, and it's not about the game itself. But he's done all those things already. So I kind of walked into, you know, a structure that already a bunch of work had been done, which is
good. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That you don't have to do it. Because that's boring. Good Lord.
Well, I'm a lawyer. It's painful. I mean, it's, yeah, but, right. But you need to do it, right?
Right.
Because it's big money.
Well, okay. So what are your thoughts about at your league and the vicious hits and the head hits and making sure that it's a safe, because like you just talked about workers' comp, I bet the insurance of a football league, a professional football league, has got to be astronomical. How are you guys going to approach the whole CTE and the head trauma thing?
So we want to be very responsible, right, in terms of our obligation to our players. And they're our human capital. And they're not, the interesting thing is they're not unionized, right? So our players aren't unionized. Like my college players are not unionized, despite the attempts up at Northwestern a number of years ago. So the health and safety rules for the NFL pretty much come out of the collective bargaining agreement, right? No two-a-days, you know, with the day off, all that sort of stuff. We'll mimic those, even though we don't have a union, right? Because I think the NFL, quite honestly, has done a pretty sincere job of trying to figure out how to minimize contact in practice. You know, game's different, right? You guys are going full speed.
But I think they've done a better job with that, too.
No, I think they have. I mean, I absolutely, the, you know, the lowering the head thing, you know, led to fewer concussions this year, which is a good thing. I mentioned that we've got a different kickoff that we think will reduce head trauma. I like the CFL no fair catch halo punt rule because it does not allow for that huge hit when a guy's trying to catch it and just gets blown up, right? That's not a good look for football, for the sport, whether it's college or pro. So we're going to take it seriously. Our league neurologist is a guy named Julian Bales, Dr. Julian Bales, former team neurologist for the Steelers. And he was also one of those guys in the movie Concussion. He was played by Alec Baldwin, if folks remember that movie at all. He's now currently up in Northwestern. He's the team doc for the Northwestern football team, and he also is a brain surgeon up at the North Shore Hospital. So we're bringing really quality people in that want to that really want to do it the right way. We care about football as much as anybody else and don't want to be any kind of a renegade or an outlier when it comes to health and safety.
Well, you mentioned it a couple of times, the kickoff. I'm ignorant to this. What's your idea? Are you giving
it's
it away
secret.
Yet?
I'm not giving it away. It's top secret.
It's a kickoff, okay?
Don't fall for this shit.
Okay, you should break it here. What are you doing?
I'd be happy to break it later.
All right. Okay.
We're testing it. We tested it with JUCOs. I'll send you some film if you'd like. We tested it with JUCOs.
Well, then it's not a secret anymore if you've got film.
I trust you to keep a
I won't keep a lip. Don't trust me. People have done that before.
The point of it is, I want to keep the kickoff return in the game. Because otherwise, it's going to get phased out.
It's exciting.
It's one of the great plays of football.
Right.
It really is. It's one of the great.
It's the lottery scratch-off ticket at the end of the game. And it's also, and frankly.
Well, it's non-existent now.
I know. It's dying out.
And this is the problem. Frankly, games, look, it's going to die out some because there are specialists. Guys just kick further on kickoffs now. But
put them further back. Yep, that, make the guy kick off at the 15-yard line.
That solves it. And then there's strategies.
And so we got, and you got decent field position as opposed to.
That's right.
That's right. It'll be more offense.
So we think we've got a decent idea, right? I don't want to, you know, I don't want to blow it up too much right now, but we're looking at it and trying to, you know, why is the kickoff return getting phased out of the game? Because it's the most dangerous play in football because of the velocity of the kickoff cover team running down.
Right.
So if you address the underlying cause, maybe there's a way to make it safer.
Heavier they all gotta shoes.
Be, I know.
Heavier shoes.
No. No, they got to be laying on the ground as the ball is kicked, and then you can get up and go.
Like an Oklahoma drill.
Or you got to turn around and
that's
face
awesome. Them. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's some. Once you start getting creative, you find ways to make it safer and to keep the kickoff.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, and this is going to go over the head of anyone who's in their 20s who you only play video games. But when we were kids, you had to make up games.
Oh my God.
And then you made up rules in your games based on it could be the weather. It could be who was or wasn't able to play that particular day.
Growing up in Cleveland, our favorite rule was you had to dive over the snow pile.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, mimic the diving into the touchdown
There were rules
back.
That you made up to make the game more fun or more competitive.
The goalpost was a utility wire, right? And you had to kick it over the goal to get the extra point. Well, all that stuff, right?
Well, or baseball, right field's closed because you only have three guys on each team.
Okay.
So right
we're
field's closed. And if you hit it over into the tennis courts, it's an out. So you got to hit it off the wall.
Ghost Runner came from.
Yeah.
We didn't have enough people.
That's it.
Ghost Runner.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ghost Runner scored. What? You don't want Ghost Runners in your league. I would not.
Don't do Ghost Runners.
Don't do Ghost Quarterbacks.
So you will reveal in different things. Okay, kickoff you want back. Any other? Some other stuff that you can elaborate on?
We think we have a neat overtime. That's going to be different.
We can't talk about this either?
No, I can't talk about that either. I mean, all these things are things that we're going to test.
Right? I see. Pro or anti-NFL rule?
Different.
Are you pro or are you?
I'm not a big fan of either the college rule.
You're not?
Nor am I a big fan of the NFL rule because 68% or something of the teams that win the coin toss win.
Right.
I started at the 50 or so. I mean, first of all, the field goal kickers are too good in the pros to have the college game.
Yeah. Right.
And, but here's the thing, though. What they don't want is too much additional football because
right.
of brain trauma.
No, and we're trying to keep in mind, and we're trying to get it done in 3 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so that's true. You've got to have something.
Yeah, I don't want to have
so you're going to start at the one. not the 25.
Two.
Two.
Let me get a little bit tougher. No, we've got a number of things that we want to literally want to do differently. You know what I mean?
That'll be fun. You think you're going to get hours in?
Yeah. No, I'm convinced we can do that. So we've got an army of college students, all analytics guys, and they take an NFL game, and instead of a 40-second clock, they do a 25-second or a 30-second, right? And they can kind of crunch that down. Fewer timeouts, two timeouts a game. A shorter halftime.
Stopping the clock on incompletions.
We're going to have a running clock. First quarter, running clock, 13
Can
minutes.
You get with
of
baseball?
But second quarter, the last 2 minutes of each half, the clock will stop, right? So you can't kneel the ball. You've got to keep moving. If the Lux are playing the Granadas, right, and the Lux are ahead and we're nursing a lead, I can't take four.
Oh, because every play, even a running play, it stops.
Stops, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You got to actually play football as opposed to taking a knee.
So, but you're going to do 25-second clocks. You think you're going to be able to get plays in and get going in 25, 30-second plays?
25 or 30, yes.
In play clock.
We've looked at a lot of the college programs that are doing the hurry-up, and these guys are snapping the ball with 24 right. seconds left.
So it's going to be a hurry-up game.
It's going to be a sugar huddle game.
But even with the clock running, how many plays do you think you'll run?
I think we can get 75, 80 plays in per
Which team. Is not crazy.
Yeah, it's not crazy, but it's enough, I think.
And it's more than the NFL. The NFL 60 to 65.
If you're able to go to more college, the NFL game is headed to college anyway.
That's right.
And all the trends show that. It's a lock. That's what it's doing. If you go, there's still some things the NFL wants to hold on to, like, all right, we've got to be able to get the plays in. You know what? Says who? At some point, and they're the slow adapters. It's going to be the college game at some point. You guys do have a chance to kind of set some
college
trends.
Innovates a lot more than the NFL does because
Division
part
two,
of it is because there's a bunch of teams. There's 730 from
Texas
teams
high schools are innovative. It goes from the ground floor up. It doesn't trickle
that's
down.
Right. No. Right.